Good morning. Greet each one in His Jesus' name this morning. I want to say a special thanks for the chorus that last evening was service at Elkton Prison. And chaplain came up to me afterwards and he said, did you know that you preached to a Jewish rabbi and a Muslim imam and an Amish bishop tonight? And I knew the Amish bishop was there, but I didn't know about the Muslim imam or the Jewish rabbi. And he said, you never know who you're going to preach to. So thanks for those who have organized that service. Special thanks to you for keeping that going through the years. And I think it is a very it's a very good opportunity for us to reach out to the world and to those who are needy and those who need to know the Lord. And I think it's just a special privilege that this congregation has that we can participate in from time to time. I felt very convicted of that last evening. I would like to turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verses 24 through 29. John chapter 5 and verses 24 through 29. Jesus was talking about the validity of him to a unbelieving group of Jews in this fifth chapter. And I want to look at these few verses here that I believe is the core of what he was talking about, what he was promoting about himself. I have a week of revivals this week, and I've been thinking about accountability, individual accountability, and I began studying this subject, and I ended up in these chapters, or these verses. These verses are, verily, verily, I say unto you, truly, truly, I say unto you, this is the truth. He was talking to unbelieving people. Truly, truly, this is what I say unto you. He that heareth my word, the scriptures. Over in verse 39, it says, search the scriptures. But he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. An interesting word there. The word condemnation is a legal term that faces each individual and made me think of this principle of accountability. Condemnation. It's a legal term used in a court. When somebody is judged to be guilty, but is passed from death unto life, you are not guilty, If you pass from death unto life, verily, verily, I say unto you, those words again, truly, truly, I say unto you, this is true. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. The time for regeneration and newness of life is now, Jesus said. That people that were dead in trespasses and sins are now coming to life in Jesus Christ. The dead are those of us, the Joe Weavers and the group here, you can put your name there. Before you came to Jesus, you were dead. You were dead. They shall hear the voice of the Son of God through the work of the Spirit, through the preaching of the Word, through the study of the Scriptures, through many other means. And they that hear shall live. They that hear shall live. Shall come unto life. The life that is in Jesus Christ through regeneration and newness of life and being born again and being partakers of his divine nature and so forth. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son, have life in himself. The Father, who was the creator of life himself, hath given it to the Son to have life in himself. And he imparts life to us, to you, to me. Verse 27, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Verse 28. Marvel not at this. Don't be surprised about the end. For the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Everyone out here in this graveyard shall hear the voice of God. They'll hear the voice of the archangel and the voice of God, and shall come forth. What a day that will be, the resurrection day. Some unto the resurrection of life, and some unto the resurrection, well, I'll just read what the scriptures say, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. The Bible and Jesus don't mince many words about the two destinies. It's either life or it's damnation. It's eternal life or eternal damnation. I ran across a simple little prayer this morning, and as I was finishing up preparing for this message, that touched my heart. I'd like to read it just now. I don't know that it has a lot to do with the message, but it says these words. And this is a prayer. What we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. And what we are not, make us. That's just a simple prayer, a simple Anglican prayer that Anglican preachers used. So I trust that is our lot this morning. What we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. And what we are not, make us. The purpose of this message is to help us understand our accountability before God. Some of you chorus members will notice some similarities between the message this morning and the message last night. At what age is an individual accountable before God? I think that is something we should address once in a while. At what age is an individual accountable before God? We call that the age of accountability. Most of us can relate to life before we settled the question that burdened us. It was a burden, and a heavy burden it was. Am I right with God? Or knowing you're not right with God, and trembling in your boots, as it were, to get right with God. Accountability is, in a very real sense, it's a very lonely experience. To give account of your life, of your soul, of your activities to God. Over in Romans 14 in verse 11 and 12, it said, "As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow." Put your hand on your knee and think about that. That knee is going to bow before God and give an account. "Every tongue shall confess." Don't stick out your tongue, but think about it. That tongue is going to confess. That, your tongue, you are going to stand before God and confess. And every one of us, no exceptions, shall give account before God. Every one of us. There will be no one sleeping. There will be no one showing up late. But every one of us will give an account before God. Many of us remember before we came to Jesus. The nights of tossing. Turning. Wanting to be right with God. Convinced that our sin was too embarrassing to confess. We were afraid to look people in the eye, uncomfortable and restless while the preaching of the words of God were going on. We longed to free ourselves of the heavy yoke of sin but afraid to expose ourselves to the light. We loved darkness rather than light. Rather than shine the light of God's word on our hearts, we love darkness. We love to keep that heart a dark place. There are alternatives. God gave us a choice. We don't have to be accountable to God. We are ultimately going to be accountable, but we can wait and be accountable in the future. We can wait until the resurrection to give an account. We certainly can. Many people are. But before us this morning, we have these two ways outlined. And they're called the broad way and the narrow way. And we are called, Jesus asked us to choose between those ways. And in our passage of text this morning, he says, not the broad way and the narrow way, but the way of life and the way of death. It's an alternative that we can make. It's an alternative that we can choose. We are used to making decisions. We make decisions about what kind of pickup we buy, about what kind of tractor we buy, about where we're going to live, and about our occupation. What do we want to do, a farmer, electrician, or a builder, or a doctor, a nurse, or whatever. The way we choose affects our lifestyle. Becomes a way of life. On the broad way, it is popular and fun. On the narrow way, it is rigorous and treacherous and very unpopular. I think we can mark that down as a way to know if we are on the right way. Is it popular and fun? Well, it's probably not the right way. God has continually held people accountable throughout the ages. In the early chapters of the scripture, in Genesis, Adam and Eve had disobeyed God. He told them not to eat of the tree. They thought it made sense, and oftentimes, the wrong choice makes sense, seems to make sense. It just seems right. But the end is destruction. Adam and Eve were there in the garden, and after they had sinned, God came down and says, in the cool of the day, and there was no Adam and Eve. No Adam and Eve. And he looked behind the bushes, and there they were. And the Lord God, it says, called unto Adam and said, "Where are you? You are accountable." Adam tried to deny his accountability and pass it on to Eve, and he said, "The woman, she gave me of the tree." Isn't it so often in this world we live in that the accountability is, oh, it's the Democrats, it's the Republicans, it's you. You took advantage of me. It's this thing. It's this circumstance. It's this bishop. It's this preacher. He's the fault. And Eve said, "Well, it was a serpent passing the buck." That's their normal response. That's a normal human response. Turn over the pages of your scripture and go to Genesis 4 and you meet Cain. You meet Cain. And Cain had killed his brother, and God had asked him, came down to Cain and said, "Where is Abel thy brother? Where is Abel thy brother?" And Cain just told a blatant lie, and he said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" The Ecclesiastes writer says, "Remember now thy Creator while thou art in thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh." That's a question of accountability. Answer the question. Answer the thought. Remember the Creator while you're in your youth, before you get old, before a car accident takes you out. Remember. Back to the text, I'd like to look at a few points in relation to accountability this morning that I think we do well to think about. He opens with the promise, the words, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me." I would like to talk about innocence this morning. Our children that are before us and are innocent. "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me." Our children are innocent. While they are inhabited with the nature of Adam, they are free from guilt or sin through the lack of knowledge of good and evil. A child that is not matured to the place he understands evil and sin cannot hear the word, cannot understand the word. It's impossible for him to hear the words of Jesus. The child, I would like to say, is however a child of Adam and therefore not a sinner, but is sinful. Over in 1 Corinthians 15, in a number of places in Scripture, it says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall be made alive." At the bedside of the child that had died, the king of Israel said these words. He is dead. Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Implying that children are going to heaven. Can you imagine? I had to think about this as I prepared this message. The abortion epidemic that is going on in the world right now. All those children are going to glory. And in that sense, I guess it's a good thing. They don't have to face condemnation. They don't have to face the choice. They are going directly to glory. When God created us, he made us in the image of God. One of the ways that children respond is to love. And that carries on through life into the age of accountability. The child is innocent, but he's born with a rebellious nature that is immature and undeveloped. The child is controlled by what is comfortable and the uncomfortable, but the child will always respond to love and care. And I would like to preach a number of messages right here on a parent's responsibility to their children. There seems to be an epidemic of failure in parents' parts to meet the needs of their children. The scriptures do not assign an age of accountability, but imply it varies with each individual. And I would like to say that the Holy Spirit alone knows when an individual is accountable. I believe, and I think these scriptures tell us, imply many places, that prior to the age of accountability, every child is safe in Christ. It is cruel and unchristian to force on someone who is not, to force Christianity, to force a choice on someone who is not sufficiently mature. It is very important that we understand that as parents. We also need to see and be very aware of the signs of an awakening conscience that come with the age of accountability and the calling of the Spirit and the consciousness of sin. Only the person himself will recognize God's call. This morning, if you're at the age of accountability and you've not chosen Jesus, I am just boldly asking you to do that. I have to believe that there are people here like that. I want to kindly urge you. I can't force you, but I urge you to make a choice. Because our text says it's the difference between life and death. want to talk a little bit about the conscience and the Spirit of God. I realize they're two different subjects, but in a way they're synchronized. The conscience and the Spirit of God. A conscience is that God-given monitor that is within us that tells us about whether we are right or we are wrong. Now, there's a lot could be said about the conscience, about how it is trained. I think the conscience is different than the spirit in the fact that we have a conscience most often about, a lot of us have had consciences according to our parents' belief. The Spirit of God convicts along the Word of God. But let's just look at the conscience just a little bit this morning. The conscience to Adam and Eve made them hide. Hide behind the tree. And blame other people. That's how their conscience awakened, recently awakened conscience, behaved in Adam and Eve. Cain, his conscience said, "My punishment is more than I can bear." Joseph's brothers, when they had been presented with the truth after Joseph left, they looked around at each other, looked each other in the eye, Reuben and Judah and Issachar and so forth. And they said, "We verily are guilty. We verily are guilty because of the way we treated Joseph when he was in the pit." Joseph had anguish of soul. And we would not hear. That's why their conscience was telling them, "That's why we have been suffering so much." In addition to the way our conscience responds, there is a conscience that is trained, but there is a very natural conscience that comes to us that seems to know what is right and what is wrong. It is universally accepted across the world that killing a person is wrong. It is universally accepted across the world that taking another's wife is wrong. And Romans talks about that, about the law written in our hearts. Proverbs talks about it. The spirit of man, I believe that means the conscience there, searches the inward parts of the belly. Jesus said, talking about the Spirit now, that through his work on the cross, he would cast out the prince of this world, that is Satan. He said, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." In other words, Jesus was saying that I have made the provision. It's through my suffering and death that Satan is finally defeated. Now, right now, victorious Christian living is possible. Living in life is possible. And then he goes on to say in John 12:32, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Jesus, because of his crucifixion, unleashed the power of the Holy Spirit. And he made this promise that he will draw all men to him. I believe that means that every man will hear the Spirit. And I think especially so in our groups where we hear the gospel. He will reprove the world of sin. There will be a conviction in the age to those or at the age of accountability. And he will prompt them. And he will prompt them. He will plead with them. And they will know what they should do. I encourage you this morning, if you're there, to follow the Spirit of God. And then you will understand everything you will need to know about finding him. It says over in John 16 and verse 13 that he will guide you into all truth. All truth. You will understand. Not only does he speak through the Spirit, it says in Romans chapter 1 that he speaks through the witness of nature. The witness of nature. The sun comes up every 24 hours, goes down. And it happens day over day, day after day. Somebody has planned that. So much so that he says over in Romans that man is without excuse. The witness of nature makes you wonder, is the witness of nature speaking to those over in Africa, Asia, that don't hear the gospel? It is. Sufficient reason to believe the witness of nature. The witness of the Spirit and the witness of conscience. These and other things are calling men to life. There's the word condemnation in verse 24. I want to talk about the word condemnation. As I said before, it is a legal term. A legal term is what you use in courthouses. It's usually used by juries and judges. And it's used quite often through scriptures, through scripture, about those who spurn the love of God. Dear ones, you can experience condemnation. It says that here. You're going, if you don't have everlasting life, you shall come into condemnation. And condemnation means that you will be raised to the resurrection of damnation in verse 29. The sentence this morning of condemnation is profound. It's the choice between everlasting life or everlasting death. One of the things that we can hang our hat on and we can rest assured that will happen, be true in our life, was recognized by Abraham in Genesis 18. And he said, there's a number of circumstances surrounding it, but I'll just read the one phrase, one question. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? There will be no mistakes in his judging. Opportunity is given to every man and woman. A just God has provided opportunity for every person. And the judge of all the earth will do right. He will make the correct call about judgment. And if you have not given your heart to Jesus, you have not said yes to Jesus, and you're at the age of accountability. He will do right. Today is the day of salvation. You can hear his voice today. The Bible says that. Not tomorrow, but today. First John 4:17, following, said, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Think forward to Judgment Day. Are you confident? Are you afraid? Our love is made complete that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him. Because he first loved us. God loves you. It is all over the place in Scripture. He reaches out to you. He calls you. He prompts you. He loved us. And we, in turn, give our lives to Him because of that love. Judgment Day will be universal. Everyone will be there. I had to wonder how that's going to seem. There's 7.7 million people on the earth today. And throughout all the generations preceding, everyone's going to be there. It says that in our text. All that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth. In Romans 1, it talks about people who are facing the judgment. It says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Young fellows, that's a special warning to you. We love to pay attention to the world and the pleasures of the world. But the Bible says in Romans 1, the judgment of God is not only to those who do those things, but have pleasure in them that do them. Mennonite youth, yes, I believe that's who it means. There is one way this morning to pass from death unto life and lift the indictment or the charge of condemnation. It is not bribing the judge. That judge can't be bought. Nor by hiring the right attorney. It's simply by hearing the word and believing on Him. Jesus said at the start of His ministry, the first sermon He preached, He echoed the words of Isaiah. And He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek, and hath proclaimed and hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And folks, that prison is in your own heart. He'll give the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Back to the text. It's the choice of life or death. It is that simple. We have it to make this morning. And I trust that you will consider your hearts and decide which side you're on. Because it's life, everlasting life, and everlasting death. Let's pray.